This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Now that Charlottesville voters have decided that the city school board should be elected rather than appointed, there's one more thing to be sorted out. How should the new school board members be selected? Should each member represent the entire system, or should each person represent one area of the city, or should it be a mixture of both? A task force is currently studying this issue, and their work has now entered the public phase. On May 18th, the task force took public comments in city council chambers. Lloyd Snook is the task force chairman.
Let us convene the meeting of the school board task force. I'm not sure what our official title is. First of all, thank you to you all who have come this evening, and I am also thanking folks who may be watching from home. This meeting is being videotaped and will be rebroadcast from time to time in the next couple of weeks, and there will be two more similar meetings, one on May 30th at Buford and one on May 31st at Walker, both times in the cafeteria of those schools. As with tonight, the maps of the different district plans will be available starting at 7 o'clock, and the meeting portion will start at 7:30. So we invite folks who may be watching this and who think, gee, I have something I want to say on that. Come on down to the meetings on May 30th, May 31st, and let us hear from you at that point. We'll also, I'll talk a little bit about other ways to get public input. You are also encouraged to go online to www.charlottesville.org. The very first thing, at least as of this morning, the very first thing on the website was a link to this presentation, to this meeting. If you click on that, you will go directly to the PowerPoint selections or the slides that will be shown tonight, and at the end will be a questionnaire, and it is that questionnaire that we're asking folks to complete and send back to us, fax, bring down to the registrar's office, mail to the registrar's office. The address is P.O. Box 911, Charlottesville, Virginia 22902. Whatever. Any way that you can get your opinions and feelings to us, we would like to hear from you. With that in a sort of preface out of the way, let me explain a little bit about what we're doing here, and a little bit of history to start off with. Until this last election, Charlottesville has always had an appointed school board. We had four wards. We had three members selected at large. Those four wards, people had to live in one of those, in a particular ward, obviously. But nobody was elected in the sense of voters casting votes. The council would simply select. As such, they were not governed by the provisions of the Voting Rights Act, and so there are a lot of things that are now different now that we're into the era of elected school boards. We used to have boundary lines designating where the school board members came from. The boundary lines are still there. They still exist on the books as wards and precincts and so on, but they do not have any legal meaning for the school board anymore. So now, when the voters decided that we would have an elected school board, the default condition, the position that we automatically go to, is an at-large system. And that's what we have right now, simply because nothing else has been done differently. The question that was posed after last November's election was, should we do something differently? Should we have a ward system? Should we have some combination of ward and at-large? And in the way that it worked out, by the time the vote was cast in November, the procedure that has to be gone through to get a ward system approved, or any change in the electoral system approved, is rather cumbersome. You have to get the approval, in this case, of the city charter has to be amended. You would have to have approval from the Justice Department in Washington, and all of that would have to be done before about March 1st at the absolute latest, and there simply wasn't time to get all of that done. So what council said was, let's go ahead and have an opportunity to really develop a lot of public input and come out with the best system. There was last November and December suggestions of with this system, with that system, wards versus at-large, and so on. We wanted to make sure we had enough information to be able to advise council intelligently. And that led to the creation of this task force. This task force has a specific charge from city council. It is to investigate ward-based school board elections. It is to evaluate the merits of four ward, five ward, six ward, all ward, no ward systems. I checked with the mayor, 2-ward or 3-ward would be fine also, but just to think about all these different options and try to make some recommendations to council, considering not only how wards might reasonably be drawn, you see the maps that we've got out front, but also look at factors such as numerical balance required by the law, racial makeup, contiguity, compactness, neighborhoods, schools, whatever factors seem important. The task force should strive to present 2 or 3 choices for council consideration with discussion of the value and policy implications of each choice. If there is consensus among the committee on one particular choice, it should be noted, and council has asked that we complete this and report to council by July 17th. So that is what we have set about. The task force was constituted by City Council. I'm the chair, Lloyd Snook, Roselle Smith, vice chair, Lauren Entibbe Camille is a member, as is Leroy Hamlet, Ken Stroop, Tom Vandiver, Karen Waters, and Buddy Weber. Sherry Iachetta and Evan Smith from the Office of Voter Registration have also been integral parts of our effort. We have had 8 meetings so far. We have been working pretty hard at this and trying to make clear in our own minds what we think the crucial issues are. And now we want to have these public meetings for you all to tell us what is important for you. A few practical matters. One is we have a sign-up sheet here that we would ask if you want to speak, please sign up. I will go down the list of those who have signed up, and we will go through that list. If there are folks who still want to say something after that, that's fine. But if you don't sign up, you're guaranteed to go last. Second, again, remind you about the phone calls, 989-9373, if you want to call in. Go to the website. There will, at the end of this, be a questionnaire, as I mentioned before, that we'll ask people to fill out. After I'm done with my comments here, the next item on the agenda is that Buddy Weber is going to present, in sort of a blitzkrieg fashion, some of the discussions that we've had of these different plans, so that I hope you will get a sense of what we've been talking about and why we've been talking about them. The idea is not for you all to hear us talk. The idea is for us to hear you talk, and we hope that you will. Our goal is to solicit comments from you on what value judgments are important to you in making the choice that we're going to be recommending to council. For example, would you rather have more smaller wards? Would you rather have larger wards where you might elect more than one member from that ward? How do you feel about the school board election that we just had? Do you think it worked pretty well? Do you like the at-large results that we came up with? Or would you rather that we had wards? One question, suppose we had a ward in the southern part of the city that had about 50% African-American population with other precincts having a lower minority population. Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Are there other things we need to be thinking about? And let me just mention, these are issues that are not new to us. They have been discussed in political science literature for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And we're not going to come up with a definitive answer, certainly not on this group, and City Council probably won't authoritatively resolve the issue themselves either. But we would like to have that value judgment reflect your values as well. With that in mind, Buddy, you want to start us walking through the districts?
Okay. First slide. First slide is a fairly simple one. It's just a slide of the entire city, and it shows that we've got a population of about 40,000, a little over 9,100 African Americans at 23%. Those are railroad tracks in there. They're not boundaries for anything, so that's just a citywide slide. Let me point out that none of the districts or ward systems I'm going to show you tonight are set in concrete. Obviously, these are concepts. We've done fairly good detailed work on them, but they are subject to change, and we're certainly open to anyone's input here. We grouped them into two different groups. One is the multi-member districts, which would be your 2 and 3 ward systems, and then your single-member districts, which would be your 4, 6, and 7 ward systems. Next one. On the 2 ward systems, they both have the same basic electoral concept. There would be 2 wards in the city. Each ward would have 3 members elected from that ward, and then there would be 1 member elected at large. In both of our cases, none of them have a majority-minority district, and I'll get into the various options here in a second, but There is an enhanced, what I call, minority voting power in the South. You get something more than the 23%. Give me the next slide. This is one of the two ward systems that we've developed, and the boundaries here follow the existing school boundaries. So you have basically four elementary schools down there and two elementary schools up there, but those are the existing school boundaries. The population actually turned out to be pretty equal there. It's a split of about 3.5%, with 29% voting population for the minorities in the South here. Give me the next slide. No, the next. There you go. This is the option two. This one doesn't follow the school boundaries, but it does follow some major arteries through the city, and it divides the population even closer. Deviation of about 1.5%, 29% African-American power in the South there. The advantage of this particular system over the other one that we showed you, there's a couple of them that we discussed, one of which is that we capture more of the UVA student population through this area in the Southern District. So we more evenly split the UVA student population, which is unlikely to vote in any of the school board elections. And the other one is that this would guarantee that you would get at least three members on the school board from the southern region of the city. That's been one of the critiques that we've had in the past, that the southern region of the city has been underrepresented. So this would sort of guarantee that. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is another option on the multi-member district. This would entail three wards, two members per ward with one member at large. And this grouping is more just along neighborhood lines and school lines, with an attempt to keep no more than three schools per ward. Go ahead and show me the next slide. And this is the way this one comes out. It looks a little weird, but as you can see, ward three would consist of this here, ward two of this here, and then ward one here. Again, no majority-minority district here, but some enhanced voting power there, and roughly a little more minority voting power right there in that ward. Next slide, please. Now we're getting into the single-member districts, and this would be our first cut at a four-ward system, and the concept here would be single-member wards. You'd elect one member from each ward with three members at large for a seven-member board. Again, this particular model doesn't display a majority-minority district. However, the four-ward system is very amenable to redrawing, and it can easily be done to get a majority-minority district if that is what is most important to people. Let's go to the next slide, please. And this is our drawing of the four-ward boundaries here. You have a south ward here with 37% African-American. You've got an east with 25%, the west at 14%, and a north at 14%. So the south here would have somewhat enhanced minority voting power, although it's not majority-minority. So it would be one member from each of those wards, three members at large. Next slide. The six-member ward system is also single-member districts, six wards with one member from each, with the idea that the seventh member would be at large, and that seventh member would likely run as the chairman of the board. So you get six ward members and one chairman in an at-large election. Two completely different concepts here, and I'm just showing these as a way of sort of creative thinking. The first option, the boundaries are based on the existing school districts. So in that case, we would have the wards would be based on the existing six elementary schools, Johnson, Jackson, Via, Burnley, Moran, and so forth. There are some unresolved legal issues, which we've got to resolve with that, but I'll show you what they do look like. The option two is one where I basically took the city and had to get more nearly equal population. You'll see the school districts are not equal population, and that's part of the problem. Next slide. This is the one that's based on the school districts. These are the existing school districts. So Venable would have a representative, Greenbrier, Burnley, Moran. Each of the six elementary schools would have a representative. The thinking being that the three upper schools, the high school and the two middle schools, are all come from the general population, so every member would clearly be a member who would represent them, and then of course the at-large would be the chairman of the board there anyway. Obviously the issue for us here is this number right here. Venable has got a huge population imbalance relative to the other wards there. It's 15,000 people. The bulk of those are UVA students. Unfortunately, by law, we have to count them. So, again, there's some unresolved legal issues with this, but it is a concept that's based on the schools, and the idea would be that the representative would represent the schools. Next one. This is a redrawing of a six-ward system that gives you much more nearly good population balance, and it does split the UVA population as best as we can here. But this would get a similar concept that it wouldn't be based on the schools themselves. It's just six wards, electoral districts, based on equal population. That's what it is. The seven ward system is a little bit different because the seven ward system is based on one member of the board per ward with no members at large. So everybody that serves on the board is going to serve from an electoral district. And what we strove here is basically for population balance. And as we work this one out, we in fact do end up with a majority minority district in this system. Next slide. As you can see, Ward 2 down here gets us a majority-minority district. But this would be basically Ward 1, Ward 2, Ward 3, Ward 4, Ward 5, Ward 6, and Ward 7. Next slide, please. Okay, as the public ponders these are the kind of things that we'd ask you to think about. One is... of the systems, you favor an at-large, a mixed ward or at-large, or a pure ward system. I think they all have advantages and some disadvantages. Some of the legal issues that we've had to grapple with are population balance, what we call retrogression. The law at this stage don't think requires us to get a majority-minority district, but it does require us to put an electoral system that doesn't entail retrogression, which would mean lower voting power for the minorities in the city. And we need to keep our boundaries compact and contiguous. It's hard not to be compact in a city this size, but you can get some contiguous issues around UVA. For the voters themselves, I think, you need to think about what kind of representatives do you want and which kind of system is going to give you those kind of representatives. Obviously, that you want somebody that's accountable to you, that's responsible to you, somebody that's accessible. Knowledgeable candidates and whether your knowledge of the candidates is important to you and whether or not they're able to focus on the issues that are important to you. And also the issue of whether you want to vote for a representative or vote for all of them. That's the gist of whether you stay at large or with wards. These elections are by law nonpartisan, so the campaigning can be a problem. So we need to consider whether this is for the candidates now. The other one was for the voters. This is for the candidate. The candidate issues, the campaigning, the cost, the time, the effort, and what it takes to get your message out. We hope to hear from some of the prior candidates and can maybe enlighten us on how the last election went. And then the issue of diversity, whether, how we're best going to achieve racial diversity, socioeconomic diversity, geographic diversity, and even thought diversity, people with different ideas and come from different backgrounds. There are some operational issues that you might consider. How is the new school board going to relate to city council, and how will they relate to the superintendent? That's all we've got. We're open for public comments at this point. And the slides or the charts are out in the hallway, the large charts, if you want to go out and view them and mill around and come back in and ask us some questions. So open to public.
Thank you, buddy. First of all, a reminder to those who have come in and since we started this, if you would like to speak, please sign up. I will be going down the sign-up sheet in order. As I said before, if you don't sign up, you'll be last. We were saying we wanted to limit public comment to 3 minutes per person. I think given the overwhelming response number of people here, we'll make that five. Hopefully you can say what needs to be said in 5 minutes, and if there's more to be said, you'll go to the back of the line and start over. So with that in mind, to remind also the call-in number, folks want to call in with questions, 989-9373. Sherry, who's number one? All right.
Number one, Leah Farid.
And just so everybody will know, I specifically asked our school board candidates who just ran to come and give us the experience, the benefit of their wisdom, and tell us how things went and what changes we should make. And Leah is nice enough to come.
Thank you, school board task force committee, for inviting me, and I'm glad I had an opportunity to come. The last 8 weeks have been extremely interesting for me. And I have had an opportunity to do what I do during my day job within the city of Charlottesville. And that is getting out to meet and greet and know not only parents, but students. As director of the Upward Bound program, I recruit from 12 high schools in the Central Virginia area, and Charlottesville High School happens to be one of them. And of course, you know, I am a city resident, and both of my children graduated from Charlottesville High School, and they're doing marvelously. And I've been very pleased with the Charlottesville school system. And my husband and I had to make a very serious decision when we made the decision to purchase a home, whether we were going to live in one of the surrounding counties or the city of Charlottesville. And we selected Charlottesville, and I'm very glad that we did. I found during the last 8 weeks that one of the things that is a common thread with all parents is that we want better for our children than we had. And it didn't matter which neighborhood association meeting I went to, it didn't matter which public forum I spoke, that was the common thread. So we have more in common than we think. I'm in favor of the at-large school board system. Not only because I just won in running at the at-large, but more importantly, I think that we've only had one election. And I think that we need to be careful in looking at what works, looking at what we think we may need in future years. The next census that we're going to do is in 2010. And I would venture to guess that the way the city is configured now is going to be different in 2010. We will have more people moving in based on where current development is, and I think that that is going to change our population. It may also change how our minority population is configured. I feel if we're running at an at-large system, we as the school board candidates are accountable to everyone in the city. We must listen and hear all of the parents and all of the students within this municipality. We must be concerned with what their concerns are and balance those out for best practices for the Charlottesville Public School system. I also think that it gives you an opportunity to become in tune with the businesses in Charlottesville, whether they are private businesses, whether they're small businesses, whether they're major corporations, to look at our partnerships and the types of things that we see the businesses doing. We want all of our children to move from a state of dependence to independence. And any of you that are sitting on the panel that have children know exactly what I mean. Your children will always be your children. They will always be on your heart and in your mind. But you want them to become independent thinkers and independent, productive members of society, whether we're here in Charlottesville or whether they choose to live in other areas. And I think the at-large system allows us to do that. Yes, gerrymandering is legal if we're looking at compact and contiguous wards. But if our population changes, are you saying that every time the population shifts in one direction or the other, we have to worry about disillusionment with regard to that particular segment that we're concerned with being minority represented? If it's, you know, diluted, how are we going to do that? And I think we need to use these next several elections to review that and look critically at how it's working, and then consider what we're looking at in 2010, which is our next census. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sue Lewis.
Sue Lewis, another candidate for school board.
Don't since I'm speaking in a public hearing. My name is Sue Lewis, and I live at 1615 B. Amherst Street in the city of Charlottesville. I have decided opinions on the issue that you're dealing with, but also I'd like to speak to this campaign. I had no problem with it being at large at this time. I think probably the next one in 07 probably should continue to be at large, but then I hope by the time, as Ms. Puryear has mentioned, we are going to have a census in 2010, and perhaps that would be a time to go to what I really think is the best way, which is a mixed system.
I don't mean to interrupt, just so folks will know, our elections are switching both city council and school board to November, so the next election will be November of 07.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. my personal feeling is that we should be moving to a ward at large system, and right now my choice is probably a 4-3, one of those options. The maps are fascinating. I'm not going to go into that. I was on the city elections task force with several of you people up here, and I think we gave some cogent arguments for that being the way the city should do their elections also. Anyway, back to this campaign. It isn't that difficult if you want to do it to run an at-large campaign, but it would be easier for some people to run a ward campaign. It's very clear that it would be easier for some people. I embraced this particular election, especially its nonpartisan approach, and I'm thrilled that the state has seen fit to say that that's how school board elections have to be. However, it's in practice, it doesn't actually work out that way in Charlottesville. That's not me. I think it's going to be difficult, no matter how we elect them, to keep a pure nonpartisan approach being a valid commitment. I don't think it's going to cost a lot of money to run at large, and it would cost less to run in a ward. I think that's a cogent argument for having some ward. And some people who feel they don't have the financial resources and maybe the political connections to raise a lot of funds might be more comfortable running in a ward situation. What else was? Oh, and clearly this election showed that you don't have to have a minority majority or any other kind of system to elect minority candidates. That is not an issue in the city of Charlottesville. I don't think it will ever be an issue in the city of Charlottesville. The city of Charlottesville is a perfectly fine city for electing people that are good, no matter what the color of their skin is. So, I thought it was a lot of fun. I didn't work nearly as hard as I should have. but my personal choice on this issue is, in fact, a mixed at-large configuration. Right now I'm leaning to the 4-3 because I think if you go to a like a 6-1 or something, you're almost balkanizing the thing, and I definitely would not want to go with something that elects from one school district, one elementary school district, because I think that just leads to all sorts of problems in people protecting their own turf. And that person may not even have children in school, but they're going to be pushed by the people in that school district to only represent them. So I think the mixed system is the best of all possible worlds. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
David Repass.
You want to give my address and all that? 227 East Jefferson Street, David Repass. I've sent you all a sort of treatise on this, which I gather you have all seen and read, so you've but I came tonight just to go on public record and do a very quick synopsis of some of the points that I was making in there. And by the way, in the process, I may say things that oversimplify what I put in a more complex report. Anyway, I strongly favor the 7-ward or neighborhood model. So we go in the gambit here from at large. Electing by small wards would bring about a far more representative and accessible school board. And small wards would make campaigning much easier. Citizens with little money and not much time could compete effectively for election by using a friends and neighbors approach, living room sessions, going door to door in a limited area, and so forth. No need to buy media ads or make other major expenditures. Contrast this with running at large or in a 2-ward system. Unless you had political connections, could raise a lot of money for the ads, and had organized support, you would not stand much of a chance. Just ask Charlie Kohlmansberg. The winning candidates in May received a lot of support from their political connections. If we continue to have at-large elections, we can well expect that the political parties will start endorsing candidates and offering their organized support. This is what has happened in many so-called nonpartisan school board elections throughout the country. And I strongly believe that school board elections should be nonpartisan. So the fundamental question is, do we want a school board that any citizen from any neighborhood can aspire to win a seat on, or a school board composed of those with political connections? Now think of the advantages of having a school board member living in your neighborhood or in a nearby neighborhood. He or she would be most likely to represent the kinds of people in your neighborhood. 7 such representatives would reflect more closely the diversity of Charlottesville than an at-large representative. Think of the accessibility to these representatives. Walk a few blocks and be able to talk face-to-face with your school board representative. Think about how much the school member could learn about the schools from such frequent contact with parents with children in the schools. And these would not only be parents with children in the elementary schools, but in middle school and high school. Now, we all want a school board composed of members who are knowledgeable about the schools. Who better to have knowledge of our schools than representatives who live close to those who are actually experiencing the school? Now, it's been said that few candidates will step forward from some of the lower-income neighborhoods. It is true that few people from these neighborhoods have ever served on city council. Well, we're not talking here about running citywide for council. We are talking about a simple friends and neighbors campaign in a small area to take a seat on a board that does not have nearly the time and demands as a city council. So let's give democracy a chance. Let's give people from all walks of life a chance to have a seat at the table.
Thank you, David. I would repeat again my call. If anybody wants to sign up and hasn't signed up, please come sign up. Sherry's got the list, and we can keep adding names at the bottom, or we'll keep working through them.
That's fine. Blair Hawkins.
Good evening. My name is Blair Hawkins, and I want to address the issue of whether or not a ward is an election district. You would think that if a precinct is an election district, you could add a precinct and a precinct, and you would also get another election district. It's been brought up a few times that the wards would have to change with the census, but the precincts are election districts, and they don't seem to change when there's a census. And I favor the 4-ward, 3-at-large system because it was a great compromise. And it's similar to the compromise at the federal level at the beginning of the nation where we have the House of Representatives. You might say, is a set of wards within a state, but then the senators are elected at large for the state. And sure enough, those wards within the state combine, add up, and actually become another district for the senators to be elected from. Under the old system, we appointed four members to a ward, and then three at large. And you would think that since we had a referendum switching to an elected system, and it really wasn't under consideration to switch to an at-large system. So I think that most people expected when we switched to an elected system that it would mirror the previous system. And again, I want to make the point that a ward, just like a precinct, is an election district, so also is a ward. Thank you.
Thank you, Blair. And let me just mention, I'm not trying to single out any particular comment, but the whole issue of the application of the Voting Rights Act is something that we've talked a lot about on this task force. The fact we've got three lawyers up here and we have three different opinions about it probably tells you something about the complexity, and none of those three opinions happen to coincide with the opinion of the city attorney, I think. So it is a matter that we have been discussing, we'll continue to discuss, and hopefully at some point come up with at least a sound legal conclusion. Just quick answer to the question about redistricting and so on. We do not have to redistrict precincts. You never have to redistrict precincts per se. If we had wards, if we had a candidate elected from a particular ward, all of a sudden then the Voting Rights Act kicks in, then redistricting kicks in. But if all we're doing is figuring out where people vote in an at-large system, we don't have to redistrict every 10 years as the census requirement is right now. I would also mention one other thing. One of the things we've talked about in our meetings is that there are a couple of different schemes that other places in Virginia have used for electing school board members. One, the so-called Virginia Beach model, is one where everybody in Virginia Beach votes on every school board member, but one of the members has to come from a particular ward, another come from a particular ward, and so on. So that you really call them more residence districts than you do wards. And the apparent opinion is that under such a circumstance, we don't have to redistrict, that residence districts don't kick in this need to redistrict every 10 years. The second model we've talked about from time to time that is a little bit different is what's sometimes referred to as the Newport News model, and that is actually very similar to this, what we've got up here for a two-ward or three-ward system, where you've got wards that are smaller than the entire city, but multi-member selections within those wards. So those are sort of two gradations. Before we get to this either all ward or all at-large or some combination of ward and at-large. These are all things we've talked about. They represent different policy issues and different policy choices. And if there are any of these models that somebody says, yeah, that seems interesting, let us know, because they are a little bit different from what we've talked about before.
Mr. Chair, we have no one else on the public hearing sign-up sheet, unless somebody out here would like to. But I've got three call-in questions.
All right. What's the first?
Well, actually, one of them is from a Mr. Abbott in Charlottesville, and he actually asked a question you just addressed. What do other cities of similar size do in regards to this issue across the state?
Well, little did I know that I was addressing. We also have talked some about, I guess Richmond has the classic, you've got a certain number of wards, you've got, some at-large people, just like what we had been talking about, what most of these models involve. Folks remember some of the other things we talked about or other research we did? Or do you remember?
We've got a whole notebook full.
Yeah. Right.
We've got a very thick notebook full of research.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is available if people would like to come to the office and see it. We do have all that information available.
Okay. Any other comment on that? Okay.
We have another question from John in Charlottesville. His question is a little bit more difficult. We can get the information. His first question was, how many of African American population in Charlottesville are eligible to vote, and how many of the Caucasian population are eligible to vote? And I know that we've got the census figures in my office that talk about voting age population and how much is, you know, and it's broken down by race as far as census goes. And so I don't know how we have that information in the office.
There, that also touches on some other issues that we've talked about from time to time in our meetings. For example, many of the residents, or many of the people who are counted as residents of Charlottesville for census purposes are registered to vote elsewhere. Many students in particular. If you've got a student who's from Northern Virginia, they may maintain their voting status in Northern Virginia, even though they live down here and might be counted here for census purposes. I gather that there are significant differences among jurisdictions in Virginia in how they treat students as to whether students are even allowed to register to vote. In Williamsburg, for example, they've always been very strict, and they want you to swear on a stack of Bibles that, by golly, Williamsburg was your home before you became a student, and it's going to be a home when you're home when you get done, and we don't want to talk to you in between, unless you meet those criteria. In Charlottesville, we've always said, hey, you're here, you're a Virginian, you know, you can vote if you want to. There are also some places, some states, for example, where they're giving you a scholarship, they want you to be a resident of the state of Maryland, let's say, to qualify for the scholarship. And if you voted in Virginia, it might endanger your residency status in that other state. So there are a lot of reasons why students choose not to register to vote here, and that causes some real disparities and some dislocations in how we account for them. One of the things that we talked at great length about Buddy's discussion of six school, basically the school district model, and how large the Venable model, how large the Venable district is. It's got 15,000 people in it, which would be way out of whack. Far. I mean, no way that the Voting Rights Act people would accept that, although there's some question about whether we can do some other finagling to make it more acceptable. But the reason for that is that most of those people don't have high school students, elementary school students. So when you look at Venable School District, you encompass this huge area where most of the people, something like 9 or 10,000 of them, don't. They're students, and they just don't have any contributors to the local schools. So it touches on some issues that we've talked about. We have some of that information available. There are also some other bits of information that may be implicit in that we won't have. For example, I don't know that there is any census data available in terms of who can vote based on felony convictions, incompetency for whatever reason.
We just have voting age population. As far as that goes, we don't have any of the convicted felony information or the competency. We get that on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. I know there have been some sort of gross studies of how many what percent of black or white meet different criteria, but certainly nothing that I'm aware of that's been individualized to Charlottesville.
I know we did talk about this issue with respect to whether or not there are certain districts that may or may not have a disproportionate number of convicted felons that may have lost their voting rights. But we really just don't have that data available.
And the other piece of this problem that comes up is the question, just sort of to put it in a mathematical context, of whether the denominator of the fraction that tells us whether we are in balance. Let's use an easy example. Let's say you've got four wards where you want to have 25% in each one of the four wards. Whether the denominator of that fraction is total population, or whether the denominator of that fraction is voting age population, or whether it's registered voters. And it seems clear from the constitutional-based case law that the denominator that the courts want is actual population, regardless of whether they can vote. And there have been a few exceptions, none that I'm aware of having been passed on by an appeals court, but that's something that a buddy and I have been trying to get some other answers on, and certainly an issue we're going to have to continue to explore, because with the big dislocation in the student district, that really poses some changes and some challenges. Other comments?
I have another question.
All right.
I'm putting all of you on the spot. Betty Pritchett in Charlottesville would like to know, do each of the task force members have a preference in regard to the possible, to a possible system at this point?
You want to start at one end or the other? Buddy, do you want
to? I think our task is to try to come to a consensus, and I think we probably all came into this with a model that we somewhat favored. And through the discussions, I think we've all kind of come around to thinking a little bit differently about everything. So I think I would prefer not to say what a preference would be at this point, and let the final result speak for itself. I think that's where I'd like to leave it. I mean, obviously, I come in with an idea, but we've had a lot of discussions on these ideas, and people change their minds when they hear a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
I agree with Buddy. I think that we haven't talked about preferences in the meetings at all, and we've taken each other's experiences in opinions into account, and we were very devoted to the public hearing process where we could find out from the public before we made up our minds in any way about what even consensus. We haven't even talked about consensus among ourselves yet, so we're all very open-minded in terms of the configurations, and as was mentioned earlier, we've all acknowledged that there are pros and cons to each of them, so we're still taking it into consideration.
I guess I came in with somewhat of a leaning, I would say, but the whole process has been, if you ask me for my top three, it has been moving every time we've had a meeting as we've made a few more ramifications and a few more fine-tunings, so we're still all open.
I mean, when I first came in, I thought, gee, I want to stick with that large, just because it's sort of what I know. Then I started thinking more about the notion of having two larger electoral districts, with perhaps three from each, and the maps that are up there are actually maps that I kind of drew up. And the more I've thought about it, I guess I'm continuing to change, and I don't really think that I'm not sure whether I favor that anymore or not. I am struck by two things. One is that we are about to change very, very dramatically how we elect people in the city of Charlottesville. When we go to a November election, we will basically double the number of people who vote in school board, well, sort of school board elections, city council elections, either one. The typical turnout for a city council election recently has been in the 45 to 5,500 vote range. This time we got 5,991, which is a little bit more than usual. We're going to be going into a November election where in a gubernatorial year we will expect to have 11,000 vote. In a non-gubernatorial year, we may expect, depending on whether our state senator is being challenged or not, we may expect to have up to 9,000. That's going to be a big difference. And part of, I guess, what I'm thinking is before we make a full all-out change to a system, once we make the change, I don't think anybody would contemplate that we would change from that for a significant period of time. And given that, I think my inclination would be to say I'd like to see how we run one November election before deciding how many wards. If it turns out, I mean, just be real simple about it. If we've got 11,000 people voting, it's a very different race for a school board. You've got to figure, if you want to plan this thing out, if you're really going to be a campaigner for the spot, you could decide in a city council race to highlight people in a particular area that you reasonably expect are going to come out to vote. You can know, for example, with a fair degree of certainty, undergraduates at the University of Virginia will not vote in a city council election. I have tried for years to get them to do so. I remember in the year 2000, I figured out that about 25 undergraduates who did not go to Charlottesville High School actually voted in a city council election in the year 2000. That's just never going to be a profitable thing to go after in a May election. But in a November election, it will be, because they will vote in a November election. And so sort of where I'm coming around to, it's a long-winded answer, and I apologize, but where I'm coming around to is that maybe we want to sit and wait. That's right. Our timer here. You got me wound up. What can I say?
Well, in all honesty, when we got started with this task, I was leaning more toward an at-large system, but as we've delved more deeply into it, I'm not sure at this point, because I know there are pros and cons of all the various drawings and so forth that we have looked at, and right now I'm still very open-minded, because we do want to make recommendations on what's going to best serve the city.
I still don't have a preference, even after being served on the previous task force. We looked into so many of them. I'm not convinced that a person's address really is a good predictor of how well they can govern or how well they can perform as a candidate. I do think that the sort of 4-3 mixed board is closer to what we thought we had all these years. But beyond that, I don't have a preference at this point. I hope we'll. And there are some things that I'm learning in this process that are intriguing. The Virginia Beach model is intriguing. Certainly the idea of two wards with multiple candidates that are things that really I had not considered previously. So I think there are still things to learn and things to hear from the public. And I think in the discussion, we'll be wrestling and coming up with some different consensus points.
I agree with Karen. I don't really have a particular favorite. I really see the role of this task force. I think everyone on the task force sees it the same way, as to analyze the various options that might be out there and present a package to council and to the citizens that will allow people to have a more focused discussion about what the direction we may take. And if it ends up being three options that we think are the foundation of that, then that's what I'll support. And if it's four or two, then I'll support that. But I think we've had some very fascinating discussions so far, and I think even tonight the public presentations have been very enlightening, and I'm really looking forward to our continuing deliberations.
Ken, any thoughts?
Well, the one thought I have is that the public may not be aware of it, but we discussed among ourselves whether we would choose two or three options as preferable to present to the public, and decided that that each had its own merits, and that we would present them. And I know that everyone on the task force agrees that in a representative form of government, my personal opinion, and I think everybody shares it, is it's always good and beneficial for that system of government to maximize the ability of the public to participate as closely as possible at the level that is minimizes the proximity of the constituent to the elected official. There's also a great deal to be said for a system that enables the public to select and have a voice in the process of choosing every one of its elected officials. So I agree with all of you all that I am learning and have not made up my mind yet.
You feel very strongly both ways. Let me again remind folks, if there are questions that people have, they want to call in, 989-9373. I will note, if you're seeing this on some time other than May 18th, don't call, because nobody's going to be there.
I have another question,
okay.
Mr. Chair. It's a technical question. Using a mixed system of at-large and ward-specific elections, how would you determine who is to run at large and who is to run from the ward?
Anybody know?
Wouldn't you have to file for either the ward seat or the at-large?
You would file either for at-large or for a specific ward.
Yeah, the candidate would make that decision.
Actually, seats are open at any given time.
Well, there are really two issues there. One is how a particular person who wants to run for the school board decides which and how we deal with that, and they would come in and say, "Hi, I'm running for the at-large seat." Mm-hmm. The second question is, now that everybody is technically at-large, if we were to transition to a ward system or some mixed ward and at-large system, how would we make the transition, and who would draw the straw that says, "Hi, you're now a ward representative instead of an at-large representative"? That's something I'm sure we'd work out the details of in passing the statute. I guarantee you that some other jurisdictions already know what the answer is, and they've already run it by their attorneys. And
it's probably in 22.1 somewhere.
Yeah.
I have to confess, in listening to Sue's presentation, my initial reaction, Sue, was if we had a 4-3, you know, four wards, three at large, we have the three at large elected, the next time would be four. But then I thought about it, that's not a fair system. So if you went to a ward system, it might very well be 09 before you went to the mixed system.
Okay. Any other?
I have no more questions.
No more phone-in questions. Is there anyone else here who has moved to share any other thoughts with us? Come on up.
Thank you. My name is Joseph Bishop, 330 15th Street Northwest. And I am in favor of the 7-ward system. And part of that is simple politics. In 2007, Charlottesville will go to November elections for school board and city council. Instead of a 10-week campaign, candidates will have a 5-month campaign. In a 7-ward system, you're looking at something less than 6,000 residents, and depending on how you draw the lines, somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 registered voters. In the course of 5 months in a 7-ward system, you can personally meet and greet a substantial majority of the residents and registered voters in your ward. It would return politics to being local friends and neighbors. It would not require citywide expenditures for newspaper, radio, television, or any other mass media such as internet, which is not yet big, but which will be one day. So I urge you to seriously consider the 7-ward system for the ease of campaign participation for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Lynch. I live at 609 Locust Avenue. And I want to thank all of you for the time that you've put into this issue and for being here tonight and for taking all of our questions. I'm very much a proponent of the at-large system. I think all of us would agree, no matter what system that you're for, that we have a very good school system, but we have plenty of room to make it better. In fact, there's a real, I think, burning desire on the part of most people in Charlottesville to improve the school system that we have right now. And I think we can do that, and we will do that. And I thank the candidates who ran in the last election and those who won. I offer them my congratulations, and I look forward to working with them to make our system better. Now, one thing that I'm concerned with about all of these mixed ward, multiple wards, however you do it, wards, is that it seems to me that we're talking about adding a layer of complexity on the system that we have. And I haven't heard anybody articulate what a real advantage to that extra level of complexity. I've heard a lot of false assumptions about the way that our system might or might not work, and I'd like to address some of those. But what I haven't heard is anybody say, if we go to a ward system, that will give us better school system administrators. We could be guaranteed of that. If we go to a ward system, that's a way that we could really get better teachers in our system. Or that's a way that we could really address our graduation rate. Or here's a way that we could cut disparity between students from different socioeconomic backgrounds. We can address the achievement gap if we go to a ward system. I don't think any of that's true. I think what the ward system would do would be to divide us. That's what we would have. We would have political divisions. That's what we're talking about doing. It's dividing the city in different ways. And there's this perception that I think is unfounded that there's some benefit to be derived from that division of Charlottesville into smaller amounts. One of the perceived divisions or benefits to those divisions that I've heard here is it will be somehow more democratic, it'll be more representative to run in a single ward. It'll be easier. I'm not sure that I understand how that would work. I think it would perhaps be easier for an incumbent in a ward system. And in fact, if you look at the county and if you look at ward systems all over, a lot of times there's no competition in a ward system because of the difficulty of running against an incumbent when there's only one opponent. If there's somebody who has the advantage of the incumbency, and as we saw in this election, the incumbent who is well known and I think well deserved to win handily, that's very difficult if that incumbent is in a small ward, knows everybody in the ward, and is able to run as an incumbent with all the benefits that confers. There's also this misperception, I think, that it's difficult without a political party to run as a school board candidate or any candidate. What I think any successful candidacy requires is a half a dozen people who are willing to help you make yard signs, get the word out, make sure that you know where all the forums are and where all the PTO meetings are. And I think that can really be done by anybody, regardless of their political affiliation. It does require some work. But the advantage of an at-large system with respect to, or as opposed to the ward system, is that if you're an at-large member, as we are in council, you have to be everywhere and accessible to everybody. You ignore any district at your peril, and that's why myself and other counselors, if there is a neighborhood association meeting, whether it's in Fifeville or in Woolen Mills or in Greenbrier or my own neighborhood, I'll try to be there because it's important that we connect with constituents everywhere. And I think that's how we get representation across the city and broad representation. If the idea that by splitting it into wards, you could be elected among your essentially, you know, friends and neighbors, I think would give us a less representative school board. I don't want people representing the school board because they see their member at the barbecue. I'd rather have them elect them because they see them at every PTO meeting or at every school board meeting or to be assured that they know something about education. This concern about the majority minority districts, I think is here. To me that I think the last election showed that was a non-issue. In a city where the minority population is about 20% throughout the city, we just elected 66% of our electors were minority or our candidates that won. We're minorities, so I think, and interestingly, our three minority members on the city council, I'm sorry, on the school board now, are all from the north side of the city. So these assumptions that people are going into, or taking with them as they look at this, I think really need to be challenged. And we need to figure out what are the right outcomes that we want going forward. What are the positive outcomes that we can get? How do we get the school board members that work better together, that are better administrators, that make our school system function better, and yes, that are more accessible to more members of the public? And I'm just not sure how adding this extra level of complexity helps that. I think it will reduce that. But I do appreciate the time that you've put into solving this, or at least working on it. So
you'll hear from us.
Right.
Thank you, Gary. Any other comments? Do we have any other calls from anybody?
No, sir, we do not.
All right. Well, the last item is the last two pages in the little packet here is a questionnaire. And Roselle, were you going to talk a little bit about that? Yeah. Was that the plan?
Mm-hmm.
I hope it was.
And we've handed them out. We've handed them out, so everybody has them.
Okay. And for the benefit of folks at home, this questionnaire is available as the last couple pages of the printout are the PowerPoint presentation that you would get if you go to the charlottesville.org website and click on the link to this particular task force. You'll get this questionnaire, and if you could fill out the questionnaire, as I said before, mail it, fax it, bring it down to the registrar's office, figure out some way to email it. I don't know, but let us get your input one way or the other. And again, we'd remind people of the meetings on May 30th at Buford and May 31st at Walker, 7:30 both times. Now,
are you going to collect these tomorrow?
Yeah, so why don't you talk a little bit about it and what we're trying to do here.
Okay. Well, we are trying to get your input. At the top of the questionnaire, there are some assumptions there. We take the time to read those, and once you've done that, respond to the seven questions we have listed there. And if you have any other comments, please feel free to include those on the bottom, or if you so desire, you can write on the back of your form there. And we would like to collect those tonight before we leave.
Well, if you want to turn it in tonight, that's fine. If you want to bring it back to us later, if you want to think about it some more, take the package home, study the maps, think about it. The important point for us is that we get as many reasoned opinions as possible. As what I've said in other occasions, this is we're not looking to take a majority vote of all of the participants. A good idea espoused by one person is better than a lousy idea espoused by 10. And so we want your good ideas. And if that means more reflection, don't feel you got to turn it in tonight.
And I was also going to encourage them, the maps are out in the hallway because we went through them rather rapidly in the overview and all. If you want to take a few more minutes to look at them before you complete your survey, they are out there available.
And so if there's it's anybody else, last chance for any comment. Yeah, again, May 30th at 7:30 at the Buford Cafeteria, May 31st, 7:30 in the Walker Cafeteria. Maps will be available starting at 7 o'clock. They're, again, they're available on the website. Other ways, you can get in touch with any of us, get in touch with the registrar's office. We want as much input as we can get. If there's nothing else to be done, then we are adjourned. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.